There's no kids' church today because everybody's off nearly. But feel free. I mean, they're fantastic, our children, so I'm sure they'll be great. But turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I was in Liverpool yesterday with Grace getting her vaccinations. She's going to Borneo, so she's having her rabies vaccines, the first one. And while she was doing it, there was this machine next to it, you know, the free kind of like check how healthy you are thing. So I thought, well, I'll do that. I was like, oh no, what's it going to say? It was actually Adrienne told me to do it because I've been feeling a bit faint at work and stuff like that. You know, I was doing a lesson observation the other day in reception. I was clinging onto the sinks going like this. So Adrienne said, get your blood pressure sorted out. So I went in and you can stick your arm in there and it does it all. It comes on the screen before you. Turns out my blood pressure is optimum, which apparently means it's the best it could possibly be. Yes! How good is God? Another miracle. And then it did my weight. Turns out my weight is elevated, which I took as a compliment to start with. Until I looked at the little graph and I was right at the top there. I need to lose 2 stone, apparently. So I need somebody to do it. So I texted Adrienne and she texted back and said, we need a plan. And we need a plan. God wants a plan for our lives, doesn't he? And there'll be times when you look at your life and there'll be some great stuff. You know, God's saying, well done, that's fantastic. Now, why wouldn't you want God to hear that? Get to God and he'll say, fantastic. But there will be other things where if you want somebody to be brutally honest with you, forget the machine, let's go to God. Because I know God loves me, the machine doesn't care. And I said to that woman, that machine's just told me I'm fat. And she didn't care. So obviously I need to put a plan in place. If you want to turn to 2 Chronicles, which is after Kings, and we're continuing in our series on prayer, and God is, as I said before, God is really calling the world to prayer. I was on Bridgetown, Portland site where John Mark Comer, guess what book I'm reading at the moment? The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer, and he's right, he's absolutely spot on. It's a great book to read. Okay, so Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, awesome book. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Why is God calling us to pray? Because he wants that to happen. God is calling us to pray because at the moment there are some people that during this whole period that we've been through have gone into new depths of prayer, but there are a lot of people that have gone stony. We've become stony-hearted towards God for whatever reason. But it's happened around the world. I was listening to a podcast by somebody from Elim, and they were saying that they've noticed that there is a lot of stony-heartedness, and God wants to heal our hearts. God wants to make our stony hearts into fertile hearts again, into hearts that are responsive to him again. Just as Mark was just declaring there and confessing there, we could probably all stand up and say, do you know what? It's been a bit tough. There have been things that have really disappointed me, frustrated me. For some of us, we've had 1,000 cuts. For some of us, we've found it really difficult to be disconnected from others. I don't know anybody really that hasn't struggled with that. And so the implication has become that we're not just isolated like our spiritual bit and our physical bit and our emotional bit. We are one. God made us one. God made us whole. And so whatever happens in any part of the realm of our lives will affect where we are spiritually. We need to be aware of that because God is saying, now come and humble yourself before me. Humble yourself before me. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. He doesn't pull any punches like that machine in Boots didn't pull any punches on me. God doesn't want to pull any punches. And then it says that our land will be healed. You know, our land has become barren. There's been a barrenness, a stoniness. And God wants us to, first of all, get our hearts right. Secondly, get the land right. Because when we get our hearts right, then as we step out in God, we will find a healing that happens in our land, in our generation. You know, that heart that Mark had there when he set up that business is still true. There are and actually during this period of time, the disadvantaged have become more disadvantaged. And there is a massive amount of injustice in our world at the moment. And we need people whose hearts are healed so that they can heal the land. And we can only do that when we pray and we come before God. And as I said this morning, I was listening to the Radio 4. I can't do this. What's happening here? Radio 4 service. And the guy there was reading out a hymn, which I'm going to read out to you now. And the hymn is Jesus Paid It All. I hear the Saviour say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So today we're talking about prayer walking. Isaiah 35 verses 1 to 2 says this, the desert and the parched land, I love the will of God. The will as in, the will here that I'm going to be reading out. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Prayer walking is not just simply walking and praying at the same time. It's not praying while we're walking and doing something else. Prayer walking is setting out with a clear intention to pray and seek God when you're out in his creation. So as an example of that, I decided a few weeks ago, I'd run out of milk. I said, I'm going to walk to the garage and get a pint of milk. And what I'll do while I'm doing that is I'll pray. And so I set off to get the pint of milk and I prayed. And it was God and God, it was good and God listened to me. But it wasn't the same as when I go prayer walking. They just didn't feel the same. There was something different about it. Because my intention was to get a pint of milk. And I remember thinking afterwards, why was that different, Lord? And he said, because your intention was to get a pint of milk. My intention is that you be with me. And so when I go out and I pray around a town, around a city, and we've been to Germany and different places with Adrienne, and when we've gone there, I remember going to Italy, and we're in Padova, and we just me and Adrienne together, just did a prayer walk, and we just prayed for that city and that place. And God began to bang, 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 say things, reveal things, and show things. Now, if we'd have just gone out for pizza, our hearts and our minds would have been on what pizza I was going to order. You know, there's just something that happens in your head and your heart. And God says, I want your heart to be wholly invested in me when you go out and do this. So when I talk about prayer walking, I'm not talking about walking and praying. Because going out, it's good to, when you go for a pint of milk, that's fine, pray. But here I'm talking about prayer walking. And it's something slightly different. So why do we do it? And some of you here, and some of you listening on the podcast, will be real prayer warriors in this. Some of you have done this before. Has anybody done prayer walking here? We've done it for years as a church, haven't we? Prayer walking. Why do you do it? If somebody said to you, if your children said to you, why are you prayer walking? Or if somebody said to you, why are you out prayer walking? Can you get a pint of milk? You say, no, I'm prayer walking. Why can't you get me a pint of milk? What's a prayer walk all about? I said, how would you explain yourself? What would it be all about? So I'm going to just explain what it is to me, and then we'll see where we go from there. So the first thing for me is that when I'm prayer walking, I am carrying the presence of God wherever I am going. So when I go into the streets of Ormskirk, and I love the name Ormskirk because it means Church of Orm, the first Viking who was a Christian. And so I can even imagine these hundreds of people before me, thousands of people that had walked those streets before praying. And so when I step out into Ormskirk, I'm carrying the presence of God. It's a bit like the Ark of the Covenant. You know, when the worshippers carried the Ark of the Covenant into the Red Sea, and suddenly the waters parted. And I just imagine when I'm out prayer walking, the waters parting. And we know there's a spiritual dimension, which is against Jesus Christ. We know that when we go into a city or a town, you can sometimes feel an oppression or you can feel a lightness. And it's very much dependent on how much prayer has gone into that place. I believe it has a dynamic effect. So we carry the presence of God that we have to be a habitation of the presence of God within the community. Let's make it real, not just sat in my little home praying for the presence of God to fall in Ormskirk. I'm going to take it with me. I'm going to get out there into Ormskirk, into Skelmersdale, into Rainford, into my school with the presence of God and walk it there because I'm carrying it with me. And if you want to imagine carrying the Ark of the Covenant on your shoulders, do that. And as you're doing it, as you're carrying the presence of God, then God begins to show you things as you walk around. Things begin to appear to you that are prompts for prayer. We'll talk about that again in a minute. The second thing that I'm doing when I'm prayer walking is I am blessing. We are blessing everywhere we go. And we're blessing what's in front of us. So, for example, walking past W.H. Smith's, I am blessing the people in there. Walking past the pub, I am blessing the people in there. And as I begin to bless, God begins to show me things to pray for the loneliness of people. Where will you go when you're lonely? It's often to a pub or a nightclub or somewhere like that. Somebody sat in on a Friday night and they've got nothing to do and they'll go down to the nightclub. Or those people are really struggling with addictions. Or those people are really finding things difficult. Or maybe as I go past W.H. Smith's, I might think about the world news. I might think about the people who are trying to make that business work. I would love it for people to prayer walk around my school. In fact, we've had people in my school praying in my school. Because there's so much disadvantage and struggles for my families. So as we go around these places, we are bringing the blessing, we are speaking blessing to those things in front of us where God has led us to. I can do that sat in my room, but for some reason, God begins to prompt me more when I'm outside looking at the place I'm praying for. Imagine those people walking through those doors. When I'm walking around Edge Hill, when I'm going past the hospital, God just begins to prompt in my heart certain things to pray for. Yesterday I was prayer walking and out of my house and I turned right. And when I turn right and I head down towards Barranook, in front of me is just this landscape of Liverpool. It's just Liverpool right there. And I began to pray for Liverpool, which I kind of often do because it's kind of in your face. You know, all the cranes or the docks are there and they've got the big red glow. I began to pray for Liverpool. And this particular time, God began to prompt me to pray for those people who are suffering from domestic violence and those people who are struggling in their families and those people who are finding it so difficult to make ends meet in that place in Liverpool. And as I prayed that, God was acting and moving. Now, I've not had anybody phone up and say, do you know what? This has happened. I just know. And the reason I know is because God loves me, God hears me, God listens to me, and God doesn't just say, I don't care. That's not my God. My God acts. So as I'm walking, now the important thing is this, as I'm walking towards Liverpool, I was praying for Liverpool. Now I'm not being too spooky about this, but Ephesians chapter 6 verse 15 talks about feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. God wants us to bring a blessing into everybody and everywhere and everything. Go past your council buildings, go past the House of Parliament. Wouldn't it be great for OCF to have a trip to London and we'll just do a prayer walk around the House of Parliament? Oh, wouldn't that be great? We'd love that, wouldn't we? And I think one thing that's happened is disconnection. It's created a distance over the last 2 or 3 years. And what happens with that is then you get into finger pointing. And I've noticed that in lots of places in society. That's something that Elam said. And we need to get into bridge building. And blessing brings bridge building. When you begin to pray for people's blessing, you can't point the fingers anymore. It's a natural human thing. And then as you're stepping out, the third thing is this, that as I'm prayer walking, I am claiming the ground. I'm claiming the ground like a mountaineer. So you climb up onto a mountain, you claim the ground there. This is God's territory. Or an army officer recapturing lost territory under the banner of Jesus. And I always imagine Joshua walking around Jericho and the walls crumbling. I kind of think, and that, it didn't make sense. It's not common sense, but you know, you walk around 7 times and the walls crumble, you know, without any kind of weapon whatsoever. But this is God's sense, not common sense. It's God's sense. And so as we step out, we can claim the ground. I remember, I think it was Andrew, where we were doing a season of prayer walking, and the prophetic word was that wherever we stepped, not only would God give us that ground, but it was as we stepped into the dry, barren land, it would become fertile. And the abundance of God, everywhere we stepped, would take place. And so we turn the desert, as it said in Isaiah 35, into a place of blossom, a place of abundance in God. And as we step out, we do that. And there's something about prayer walking that can't happen when you're in your own home. And the prayer walking, it's almost like every slab you step on, you notice. Every little corner, every brick, every door, every window, you notice it. You see it. And to claim that for Jesus Christ is so powerful. Joshua chapter 1 verse 3 says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. We claim every step for Jesus as a physical act of faith. We're praying not just in our heads, not just with our hearts, but with our whole bodies. We're getting out there, and with my whole body, I am praying and interceding. And there is something very, I think the word is visceral. There's something very sensory, and I'm quite a visual sensory person. There's something very physical about being in the place you're praying for and being surrounded by that place. And then the fourth thing, is this, is marching. When I'm going out, I'm marching with the angels. I'm not just on my own. I do a lot of prayer walking on my own. We've done it with the church as well. And it's great doing it together, actually. It's amazing. But we are marching with the angels when we do it. And when I do it, I like to pray for where I'm heading. So when I'm heading towards Liverpool, that's what I pray for. And then I turn around the other way, and then I'm starting to pray for Europe. I'm praying for Preston. I'm praying for Bolton and Manchester. I'm praying for the Ukraine. So it's good to get your map out or your compass or whatever you've got and think, right, where am I heading towards? You know, it's not that God doesn't listen to you if you're walking towards Liverpool and you're praying for Preston. It doesn't work like that. But actually, there's something about you and what you're facing towards, that declaring physical pose. You know, when Moses was on the mountain, he looking out and he was claiming ground. And when Jesus was looking towards Jerusalem, he wasn't looking in any other direction other than Jerusalem. And there's something about your words going out over a place, over a territory. And so physically seeing and moving towards somewhere is really powerful. So I've said a few things there, and the last thing I'm going to say is this. I think it's number 5 or 6. Lost track again. Thank you. I pray for doors to open. And how relevant is that right now? In my school, we have a curriculum that we've devised called an open doors curriculum. We're opening doors that would otherwise be closed to our children. But you know, that's so true. And after lockdown, we want to pray for open doors, don't we? We want to pray for doors to be flung open and for the Holy Spirit to flood in. Lord God, open the doors of the hospitals, open the doors of the schools, open the doors of the businesses in Ormskirk, open the doors of the council offices and of the libraries and of the police stations, open the doors of the nightclubs and flood in, Lord God, And as you're there walking through, or you're going past these doors, just simply pray, open this door, Lord. Open this door, Lord. Open this door, Lord, for your presence to flood in, because he's listening and he's hearing. Wherever it is that God is laying on your heart, get out there and pray for those doors to be opened. And Jesus was a great prayer walker. People have suggested that he did over 3,000 miles in his ministry walking from Galilee and Judea and Samaria and all the other places. And my guess is that as he was doing that, he was praying for the places and the people he was walking towards. He was praying for God's blessing and pouring out of mercy. And ministry flowed from that. Because as you walk in prayer, God begins to inspire you. And it can be like little things. It might be just a sign. It might be just a notice. It might be just something that you see. And it prompts a prayer that leads you into a revelation, that leads you into an intercession, that leads you into a powerful prayer that is exactly what that business, that shop, that town, that place, those people need. Allow God to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit, which is what this is all about, the Holy Spirit to speak to you where you are. And that's what Jesus did. And the final thing I want to say about prayer walking, going back to what we had before in 2 Chronicles, is this, that prayer walking heals us too. It's not just about all the land and everything else, but it heals us too. And yes, of course, it's great to get out there, you know, for our mental well-being, et cetera, et cetera. But I can remember I was doing a prayer walk and I was praying for, you know, the whole world to be saved, that kind of thing, you know, that kind of like big, big prayers. Oh, God. Because when I'm out there, it's like the momentum as well helps you. I don't know if you've done, those people who have done prayer walking, you just know when you're walking, it's like, whoa, it just stirs something up within you, doesn't it? God made us to be physical people. And it's just like, okay, people might say, well, it's because your heart's going and everything. So what? It just like gets us into that place with God. And those people that prayer walked with me, sometimes it can be hard to keep up with me because I'm like this all the time and I have to slow down, which is important to slow down. And there are times when I'll stop. There's a gap in the hedge in Bickerstaff which looks across the farmer's fields and out towards Ormskirk. And that's why I stop and I pray for Ormskirk and I pray for the church. And it's a great expansion. There's the motorway there. I can remember when I first took on the leadership in the church and we went out to Liverpool and we stopped at Ormskirk Station. And when you think about Ormskirk Station, the hundreds upon thousands of people from all parts of the world that have travelled through that station to come to Edge Hill or other places, and they've got off their ferry or the plane or whatever they've done in Manchester or Liverpool, and they've got on that train. And then they've gone up to Preston and up that way. And that is like a hub, and we need to recognize the gateways. We need to be praying over the gateways and recognize where those gateways are. We've got one out here, this roundabout here. We should go and stay, we'll get arrested, but we won't. But we should stand on that roundabout. There's people going into Liverpool, and there's doctors, and there's nurses, and there's people who are struggling, and there's all sorts of people. Just begin to understand, we're not tiny people in this. We are part of a big kingdom, and God has sent us as warriors to pray for the world, and the whole world is coming to us, and sometimes we forget it, and we're not praying for them. And when you stand somewhere where you can actually see people arriving with their luggage and suitcases, then you begin to think, wow, my prayers were going to reach around the world. This is not just Ormskirk. This is the world that we're praying for. So we need to begin to do that, and it's exciting. But there are times when God just wants to speak to you on your prayer walk. And I remember doing this prayer walk in Bickerstaff, and I was praying for great and big and mighty things. And then this butterfly just came, and it went zigzagged. It was a cabbage white or one of those, something like that. It zigzagged, and then went off again. And in that moment, and it might sound, what's the word, silly to you, but in that moment, I just felt God saying, Mike, just stop for a minute. I love you. I just thought for a moment, maybe I'm the only person that saw that. Maybe God decided thousands of years ago that he was going to send a butterfly and bless me. It just occurred to me as I began to expand out and think in the presence of God, what happened there? It was like God decided to kiss me. Just in that moment. And going back to what Mark said before, you know, we forget all these miracles around us. We're in a blizzard of miracles around us. But why don't we just get out there and let God kiss us? Just in the middle of all our desperate prayers, and it's right that we do that, God wants to say, Mike, thank you for praying. I love you. Just pause for a moment in his creation. And so I praise God. And that was a while ago, and I remember it so often. It was just God's reminder how much he loves me. And so what I want us to do this week, and I need to recapture this again. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the great prayer walking warrior that I'm perhaps sounding like I am. I need to do a bit more of this. And because it does me good, and for me, it's how I like to pray. So just get out and have a go, like we are with all these things, with the journaling. I've been having a go at doing that, and the prayer template that Andrew talked about for the Lord's Prayer and the crafted prayer. Just have a go at these things. You don't have to be a great warrior from zero to hero straight away. Just have a bit of a go. Just go out for a little walk. I was only out for 5 minutes yesterday, 10 minutes yesterday. And God still spoke to me. God still used me. So this week, let's just make a commitment. And then at some point as a church, we will go out. We'll do a bit of a prayer walk. It'll be great. We'll start small and build up to the House of Parliament. And maybe we'll go to the European Parliament. I don't know. Who knows? We'll do it around the world in 80 days. But no, we'll do something. But just this week, step out in God. And just experience the joy and the privilege of prayer walking in him. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that you are an almighty God that surrounds us with miracles. And we just simply want to be part of your miracle. We want to be part of the miracles that you've got for us. We want to be partners with you, Lord God, in blessing our community and beyond, in bringing about your presence, in claiming the ground for you, in marching towards all that you've got for your kingdom, Lord God. We lift up before you at the moment what's happening in the Ukraine, Lord Jesus. Yeah. And we pray, Lord God, that you would be with the diplomats and the people over there that are trying to make things, sort things out. And we pray, Lord God, that you would turn hearts around, that there will be a calming of fear, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, for those people that are working so hard that they too would come to know you. Lord, we pray for this world that you've placed us in. Lord, draw us into your creation again. This week, help us, Lord, to take those steps to claim your ground. It's your ground. This is your world. And so we claim it back now. We claim it back now in the name of Jesus Christ.